And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ, and with me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
Yes, hi, she says. So today, we've got a really good show. This is a topic that we've talked in and around and about this on the show before, but we've never just dedicated a show right to it. And today we're going to talk about the myth of diagnosis. I mean, I can't express to you how much having a diagnosis is really just a myth. Like, people cling to their diagnosis, and once they're given a label, they will grab hold of that label and will not let that label go, and they think that that's the answer. That's right. Not the answer.
Well, I mean, giving the name, you know, a name to whatever you are, you know, the group of symptoms that you have is helpful to find the right medication.
We're gonna put these group of symptoms together, we're gonna give it a name, and then based on that name we're gonna create a bunch of medications around it, or we're gonna prescribe these medications to that name. That's all it really boils down to, is what drug to what disease,
right?
And that's all medicine. And those of you out there who are nodding your heads, yes, that's exactly right, they told me I had this and this is the drug I started. I mean, I can tell you, you know, you start off with pre-diabetes, you're going on metformin.
Right. And I think that, I mean, this is really an important show for us to do, because it's kind of the foundation of the way that functional medicine works and how we practice in our clinic. I think that a lot of people listening to this, it's not something that you think about. You don't think about there being a different way, right? You think about having a diagnosis as solving the problem.
Right.
Like, so once you figure out what this group of symptoms is, and, you know, you find out that you have, you know, diabetes, or you have Hashimoto's, or whatever it is that you have, well, then that's the answer. And it's not the answer, and it actually is keeping you from finding the answer, because it's giving you this false sense of security that you know what's going on, when that's not actually how a diagnosis works. And that's really what we're going to get into and explain
right
today.
If we really want to get into it, a diagnosis is merely a way for an insurance company to decide whether or not they're going to reimburse care, because they've said that, well, this disease gets these treatments and that's all we're going to cover.
Right.
That's really all it boils down to. And it doesn't really help you. I mean, the myth that we're talking about is, like Aaron just said, if you know the name of the disease, you know what's wrong. It couldn't be farther from the truth. And the bad thing is, it's permeated everything that there is in medicine and healthcare. And at the same time, it has become the single biggest obstacle out there with the way that we do things. Period. Cut and dried. Right. We're naming and blaming in medicine, and unfortunately, that just doesn't work.
Right, that's what doctors are trained to do.
Yeah,
right.
Naming and blaming. All you have is
conventional medicine.
Exactly, and so, you know, find the name of the disease. You match the drug. So, like, if you have depression, well, you get an antidepressant. If you have anxiety, then you get an anti-anxiety medication. If you have, you know, bipolar or mood disorder, you get a mood stabilizer. And I mean, yeah, I just picked on some psychiatric conditions, but this is everything else too. Heart disease. I mean, you get given the name heart disease. Well, that doesn't tell you anything, right? There are a lot of things that cause heart disease. I mean, strokes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, atherosclerosis or hardening of the arteries, heart attack. I mean, it's all heart disease, but it doesn't, the term heart disease doesn't give you an answer. Why did you get this?
And the why is what is important. The why is where the answer actually lies. Because if we don't know why something happened, then we don't know how to fix it.
Right. Statin medications are one of the top prescribed medications in the country. And they're given because someone has high cholesterol. Well, 80% of the cholesterol, and we're told, before, back up just a second, we're told that the cholesterol comes from the food that you eat. A bad diet causes high cholesterol. That's not true. There's study after study after study that shows that that's not true. 80% of-ish of the cholesterol that's in your body is made by your liver. Your body makes its own. So if you have a cholesterol of 300, it's because your body is making it, not because of the food that you're eating. Now, the food, that if you're eating a bunch of bad fats and, you know, fried food and stuff like that, yeah, you can be contributing to liver dysfunction, which is going to cause you to make more cholesterol.
And a lot of other problems. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you're, you know, I mean, we talk about that all the time. If you're not eating correctly, you're setting yourself up for a ton of different problems. But it's not as simple then as to say you are eating poorly, therefore you have high cholesterol.
Right. I mean, most of the time, if you have high cholesterol, it's a liver problem. If you fix the liver, give the liver what it needs to run through its phase one and phase two of liver detoxification, the liver fixes itself. Your cholesterol comes down. You never did anything to do with the cholesterol at all. You just took care of the liver. You gave the liver what it needed to fix itself. It's a simple, simple game. But unfortunately, medicine doesn't look at it that way. Oh, you have high cholesterol. Everything that goes wrong with you is because you have high cholesterol. Well, that's garbage.
Well, and it also is, you know, I mean, it's frustrating to people who are not eating poorly and have high cholesterol, because a lot of times then they're blamed for, you know, not eating correctly.
Right.
And then, you know, I mean, there's a lot of shame that goes along with that and feeling like, you know, why am I not able to control this, when that's just not how the body works.
Right. It's not it. I mean, the thyroid's the same way. People out there have Hashimoto's or other autoimmune thyroid or hypothyroid. I mean, if the thyroid is low functioning, it's because we have I see this in the lab work that people bring to us. It's because the body is unable to convert the thyroid hormone from the inactive form to the active form, which happens in the liver and the gut. Here we go back to the liver again. It happens in the liver and the gut, and it has nothing to do with whether or not their body can actually make the hormone. It's whether or not their body can convert it. It's a completely different mechanism. But medicine is looking at saying, oh, well, it's a thyroid problem. Let's just blame everything. You're tired? Oh, you have thyroid dysfunction. Your hair's falling out? Oh, you have thyroid dysfunction. You can't sleep at night? Oh, you have a thyroid dysfunction. I mean, what in the world? There are a bunch of different reasons for this to be going on. And there's another reason for why your thyroid's not working the way it's supposed to, or your body's not making the thyroid hormone the way it's supposed to, or you're not converting it. There's always another reason why. Right. And that's the key, is going down and digging at the roots of what's causing the problem and figuring out the why, and then fix that.
Well, and it's funny that you had mentioned, you know, oh, you're not sleeping correctly. It's, you know, a thyroid problem. I think not sleeping is another big one. You know, if you're not sleeping, oh, you have insomnia. We need to give you medicine to help you sleep. Why aren't you sleeping?
Right.
I mean, which is crazy, right?
I bet
right?
you your cortisol's off the chart and you can't sleep.
When you really stop to think about it, how useful are these diagnoses? I mean, if you actually break it down, you start to realize, wait, it does me absolutely no good.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you've been diagnosed with migraines. Okay, why do you have the migraines? Like, what good is it for someone to tell you that you have migraines when you already knew your head really hurt?
Right.
Right? I mean, like, how helpful is that? I mean, the approach with, you know, finding this group of symptoms and giving it a name, it's, first of all, it's outdated. I mean, we're really learning that it just doesn't work. It's increasingly useless. And a lot of times at this point, it's dangerous. And we know that.
Right. It worked. This mode of name and blame and then get the drug for the disease works when it's a bacterial infection. And that was what was killing us. Those were top killers back in the early 1900s. We died from infections. Now we're dying from complex chronic diseases. You can't throw medications at this. And then, you know, we throw a medication at something. Okay, maybe the person needed the medication. And then we throw a second medication at it. Well, guess what? There's not a study out there that shows that those two medications actually work together. And then we throw a third, a fourth, a fifth. I mean, we see people with 10, 12, 15, 20 different medications that they're on. We have absolutely zero idea what in the world is going on in that person's body taking that many medications, other than the fact that tons and tons of nutrients in their body are being ripped out of their system. There's tons of books written on it. One of the biggest books out there is called Drug Muggers, and it's all about, it's written by a lady pharmacist. What was her name? Susie. I can't think of her name right off the top of my head. And Susie may not be right. Don't hold me to that. But it's the title of the book is Drug Muggers. And it's all about, if you're taking a statin medication, these are the nutrients that are being pulled out of your system. If you're taking an antidepressant, these are the nutrients that are being pulled out of your system. And those nutrients are what's needed to fight the disease to begin with, right? That's the whole part of it. I mean, one of the biggest things that you can do when you have heart disease is increase your intake of CoQ10. Statin medications stop the body's ability to actually make CoQ10. So you're going to further deplete something that you probably needed more of anyway.
Right. And there are, you know, more and more recently, we've seen people come in who are on a statin and have been told, hey, you might want to take CoQ10. But the thing is, they're not looking at the fact that, I mean, what they've prescribed is actually the reason why it's being depleted. And they're also not giving you, you know, any indication as to what, you know, what quality of supplement you need, or helping people find out, you know, other than just, you know, going off the shelf and buying a CoQ10, which is probably not going to do you any good anyway.
Right. It's, I mean, it's just so, the whole system, it's just, it's broken. This whole, you know, once you got a label, that's all that they want to blame everything on. And we see this over and over and over again. I give the people, the patients that come in, an example. I just say, hey, look, you know, that you've been, you know, given this label, everything that you do, and no matter who you go see or how many referrals you get, they're going to constantly come back and tell you, oh, it's because of whatever that label was. They're just putting you in the box and they're blaming everything on that box. You've got to get yourself out of that system and mode of thinking and into somewhere else with a different line of thinking that says, okay, we're going to focus on fixing you as a person rather than dealing with throwing a medication at your disease. And that's where people seem to get the most benefit, is when we start doing that. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the myth of diagnosis. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, we're talking about the myth of diagnosis, and oh, what a myth it is. So before the break, we were just kind of talking about, you know, people getting labels put on them and then everybody blaming, you know, everything that happens to them on that label. And it's just so far from the truth of how we really fix people.
Right. Well, and you had mentioned before about the fact that, you know, if we're really going to fix people, we need to look at them as a whole person, right?
Right.
We not just, and
right.
It's funny because
and it goes all the way back to before they were born. You've got to look at how healthy mama was.
And when we have people come into our clinic, a lot of people know what we do and they're kind of expecting to some extent the difference that they're going to get.
Expecting to be overwhelmed,
right.
And we deliver 100% of the time.
But we do also have people that come in and get frustrated because they're just like, why are you asking about this? I have a thyroid problem.
Right.
Like I need you. And it's like, nope, body doesn't work that way.
Right.
Actually, I mean, so it goes both ways. We have people who really want who come in and are like, all right, you know, I'm thrilled that you're looking at everything. And we have people come in who are like, why are you asking me these, you know, off the wall questions when I told you all that, but, you know, I already told you it was a thyroid problem, just fix my thyroid.
Right. But more often than not, once we get that wall or that barrier down, then it turns into a, why did those guys always
right.
do it this way? I mean,
why didn't anybody tell me this?
Yeah. Why did no one give me this information? And, you know, where have you been? I've been looking for you the last 20 years. I'm like, well, here we are. You're here now. So let's just move forward from here. And so, I mean, it's so true. So there was a guy out at Stanford, I believe. And this guy got a group of psychologists, psychiatrists, and attorneys. And he got these people to pretend to hear voices and managed to get all of them admitted to psychiatric hospitals all across the country, right? Once they got admitted to these hospitals, they just went back to acting normal, right? So just normal, average, everyday behavior. And the hospital staff and the physicians viewed all of their normal behavior and made notes that it was abnormal. And the only people that could tell the regular people apart were those that were truly crazy,
right.
Those that truly had mental health
issues.
Well,
and you say this about them taking notes. One of the things that was actually looked at was the fact that some of these, you know, so-called patients that were in there that were part of this study were in talking with the doctors and would take notes. And they started, you know, they would write down that, oh, they're taking notes, like as it was a crazy behavior instead
right.
of it being something that is totally normal to be doing
right.
when you're speaking to a physician.
Yeah. We have people take notes all the time. It's not crazy behavior. We, in fact, we encourage it.
But I mean, it's just really, it just goes to show you, and this is that's a mental, you know, kind of example, but that once you have this label put on you, that everything that might otherwise be seen as normal is now looked at like it's really strange, and it's all part of this diagnosis that you have.
And I can't tell you how many times the label is wrong.
Right.
It's wrong so much. People will come in and be like, well, what's wrong with me, doc? And we just explain processes. Well, this isn't working right, and that's not working right. And they're like, but what's my diagnosis? The diagnosis is the fact that your body isn't working the way it's supposed to. Just giving you a label, you're just going to cling to it. And that's what happens. And, you know, we have people that come in, they bring their blood work, and they're like, this is what my doctor ran and told me I had this. And we're like, okay, these are the numbers that you actually look at for that diagnosis, and they're right here within normal range. And the people are baffled. They're completely baffled because no one explained to them what their labs were. They had somebody from the office call them and say, hey, you know, you've got this. We called in a prescription. Go pick it up. They didn't really go over anything. They just told them, hey, we wrote you a prescription. Go get it. That doesn't help. That doesn't help anyone. But anyway, like Aaron was saying, you know, once they throw the label at you, I mean, they just put you in the same box as everybody else that has that exact same label. And really, in all honesty, if we're going to get into it, the future of medicine and the future of healthcare is all about personalization, not one size fits all.
Right.
Right.
Because once you have a label like, you know, depression or heart disease or, you know, Hashimoto's or, you know, hypothyroid, like we had said, we throw you into the same group with everyone else who has that same label, and we assume that you have the same problem, even if the evidence is found that you don't necessarily suffer from the same problem.
Oh, it's crazy. We'll have husband and wives that come in, and we'll do a like a group visit, so we'll see the husband and wife at the same time, and they'll both have hypothyroid. That's their diagnosis.
Because a lot of people
have it. I mean, Synthroid is a very highly prescribed mm-hmm. medication. It's unfortunate, but it is. And they'll be on the exact same dose. She will be 5'5", 120 pounds. He will be 6'2", 280 pounds on the exact same dose of medication with numbers that are almost, I mean, how is that? That makes zero sense. They have completely different biochemical needs. They're two different sizes of individuals. It baffles me. And their numbers are no better. Things aren't, and their symptoms are definitely no better. That's why they're in there looking
right.
for us.
Well, and let's think about it. I mean, the name hypothyroidism has nothing to do with why someone has a certain, why they have certain symptoms.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the root cause of the actual problem.
Right. The root cause could be a whole pile of things.
Right.
That I alluded to earlier in the show, in the first segment. But like, just the whole name and blame system is completely outdated. And assigning a drug that's probably not working, right? There's just nobody in the medical industry understands it, or they don't care.
Don't know how to look around it because, I mean,
exactly.
They just,
I like to think that they're just not educated on it. It's not that they don't care.
Well, and what I often say to people, and I'm trying to explain this, is it's like if, you know, what you actually have is written on a piece of paper in Russian, and you keep going to doctors who only speak English. And you keep saying, here's what I have. And they're like, this is gibberish. This is nothing. Well, it's not that it isn't anything. It's that they weren't trained to actually read it. Right. And so I think that's where we're really looking at, you know, the difference between functional medicine and conventional medicine is conventional medicine was trained in one way, and they may not recognize the set of symptoms, you know, for what they are, like a functional medicine practitioner will. And a lot of practitioners are MDs, and, you know, we've all different types of doctors, but it's a different type of training.
I had a mentor that would say, you don't take a Ferrari to the Chevrolet dealer to get it fixed. It's 100% true. You got to go to the right place.
Right.
And they're just not trained.
And, you know, you don't go to a functional medicine doctor if, you know, like you have a gunshot. Or you
right. Don't come to me. Yeah, don't come to me with a bullet wound or a broken arm. I'm not going to do that.
Or deliver your baby. You know,
that's true.
It's just, but I mean, you know, just like we defer to conventional medicine for certain things, chronic problems, which is what this country is, you know, suffering from, the numbers are skyrocketing.
Over 70 cents of every dollar, every Medicare dollar is spent managing a chronic disease.
Yeah. And managing a chronic disease when we're actually, for most of these, able to reverse them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a
time window. You can't have something for 45 years and expect us to make it go away. That's not realistic. But there's a lot of stuff that can be done to improve your health.
Right.
But the
whole medical system is virtually predicated on the myth of diagnosis, right?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I'm more interested in helping you actually understand what's going on, how serious the issue is that you have, and then help you figure out what it is that you can do to fix it.
Right. Because this problem it's not trivial. It changes everything about how we think about disease and what we do to prevent and treat disease.
Right. And there's some other problems that, you know, just that are out there that explain, you know, almost every disease. It doesn't matter what specialty your disease falls under, right? That makes zero difference, right? There's a few fundamental laws. I forget the French guy's name. There's a French guy out there who said basically a few fundamental laws can explain an extraordinary number of very complex phenomena. And it's so true. And it's true not just in medicine. It's true across the world. I mean, or across knowledge.
Right, but there are just a few underlying problems that really are the link between most chronic diseases.
Yes, and inflammation is one of them. That's a big one.
It's huge.
I mean, that's like the laws of physics. What, the three universal laws of physics or however many? There's not very many.
Right. Well, and in almost every disease, the same few things go wrong. There aren't that many different things. All of those problems are interconnected.
Yeah. One of my favorite doctors of all time, Deepak Chopra, who is an endocrinologist, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that. He said that he says that the human body is like a spider's web, and he's specifically talking about hormones in this quote. You can't touch one edge of a spider's web without vibrating the entire thing. And that's true in the human body. You can't do one thing that doesn't affect all of the rest of it. So if you're taking a medication for, you know, condition one, you're going to affect everything else in the body. And if you add another medication for condition two, you're going to affect everything else in the body. That's just the way that's the way that we work, right? And so if we stop and think, okay, let's figure out what are some things that this whole world of wellness are built on. There's just a handful. And when we come back from this break, we're going to break this down and we're going to talk about these things, these keys that build up they're basically the keys to wellness. It's the foundation on which wellness is built on. So we got that coming for you right after this break. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we're talking about the myth of diagnosis. And right before the break, I said that we were going to come back and we were going to talk about basically some keys to wellness. Now, these are in no particular order, but they're important for, you know, achieving and maintaining wellness. And one of those is inflammation and immune system balance. We've got to keep inflammation under control. We've got to make sure that our immune system is balanced and is functioning the way it's supposed to function. And I can't tell you how many people's immune systems are not functioning ideally. Another one is gut and digestive health. We've got to be digesting and eliminating every single day. The idea of having diarrhea and or constipation is a problem. Something is off. We've got to balance that stuff out. And on top of that, number three would be detox. We've got to be able to detoxify. The whole system has to be able to detoxify and then eliminate. Another one is environmental. stuff. So environmental pollutants. So we're exposed to tons and tons of environmental pollutants every single day.
Skincare products and things like that.
Yeah, skincare products.
Cleaning products.
Cleaning supplies. Just being outside. If you live in a city, the smog and all of the effects of gasoline, being burned from cars and things like that.
If you live in the country, if you're around farms, are there pesticides sprayed? And
pesticides,
things like that?
Insecticides, glyphosate, things like that. That's a environmental insult. Hormones and neurotransmitters. This is how our body communicates. And if your communication system is down, that brings on a whole host of other issues. Another one is how we make energy and whether or not our mitochondria are working and how much oxidative stress is going on. So we've touched on in this show before about free radicals and oxidative damage and stuff that happens. And these free radicals can damage the mitochondria, which damages our ability to make energy because mitochondria are what make energy for our cells and for our body. So keeping that all in check and making sure that that's all functioning properly is another piece. And then lastly, and this one is very important, but unfortunately in the United States, and I say the United States because we have listeners all over the world to our podcast. In the United States, we don't put as much emphasis on mind-body and then body-mind cause and effect. Like, we don't put as much emphasis on our thought patterns and how those can contribute to dysfunction and ultimately sickness, right? We need to be better at that. And I think we're becoming more aware as a country, but we're still behind other places in the world who focus a lot more on, mental clarity and health and mental well-being. But those are just some of the key pieces to
right, the underlying causes of all illness.
Yeah, and to maintain and optimize your body's ability to stay well. That if you can work on those things and find a doc in your area that can help you with that. And if you don't have one in your area, call us. We'll either take care of it or we'll help you find someone that's there.
Right. I mean, if you're looking at these keys to wellness, I mean, this really, are the things that we focus on in our clinic, and it's like a new roadmap with functional medicine, and it turns the myth of diagnosis on its head, basically.
Right, just flips it upside down.
Right, because it reveals that, one of the most radical concepts that emerge from this is the fact that the name of the disease bears little relationship to the actual cause of the disease.
Right, exactly. It makes no difference, right? So moving on just a little bit, there's this whole one disease can have a bunch of different causes, which all of these different causes can manifest the exact same symptoms. I mean, if we look at depression, for instance, it can be caused by a lot of different things, but yet the symptoms that are seen are the same across the board. And the DSM-5, which is the diagnosis book for mental health, describes the symptoms with 100% accuracy, but it doesn't say anything at all about the causes. So we have zero validity, right? So we don't know they don't even talk about the cause. They just talk about this is what you have. So then here's your name, here's your label, but we didn't talk about the cause. How are you going to fix something if you don't talk about the cause? Right? So if we have a room full of people with depression and every single one of them meet the criteria in the DSM-5 for depression, they would all be prescribed antidepressants for their disease, their quote disease, right? But the diagnosis nor the treatment, either one, takes into account any kind of genetic individuality, so it doesn't look at them individually at all.
It doesn't look at why they were depressed in the first place,
right,
is one of the things.
It doesn't look at any reason why they may be depressed, right?
Because, I mean, let's face it, someone can have depression like we talked about, many different reasons. It could be situational, right?
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that they have been met the certain criteria, okay, are they going through something really difficult? Because that case, suffering from a short-term depression would actually seem normal, right? I mean, there are certain situations you go through and you think, okay, if you aren't really, think if you've just lost your spouse of, well, of any years, really. I mean, right. someone who you're spending your life with, you're going to probably go through a depression. That's a normal response to something that you've lived through.
Right. If you're excited, there's a whole other reason that we need to be talking to you.
Right.
Call me crazy.
Yes.
Right. But I mean, with depression, I mean, there are so many different things that can be causing it. I mean, you could have deficiencies in vitamins like folate, B6, B12, right? Those three are really important in how we methylate. And that's part of how our liver detoxifies. And those things, it alters different statuses in those nutrients. Those particular key nutrients alter the body's ability to make serotonin and dopamine. And so we're not going to feel good or sleep good. And our mood's going to be off, right? Our thyroid could be off. We could have, you know, food sensitivities, which cause, you know, when you have food sensitivity or something that causes leaky gut, you instantaneously cause leaky brain. It's the same type of cell that makes it up. So if it affects the gut, it's going to affect the brain. You could have an autoimmune response to a food. We could be talking about a toxic metal poison or something like that, like mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, anything like that. We could have different types of proteins that alter brain function. So from when we digest foods, we can alter their proteins, and that can create depression. We can have inflammation in the brain because we've got some sort of hidden infection. Our blood sugar can be off. I mean, we have people that say, literally, we'll ask husbands and wives or someone that comes in, they bring a loved one in with them. We'll talk about whatever they've got going on, and then we'll literally say, do you have anything to add? Do you notice anything? Do you notice after this person eats certain foods that they become more agitated or they become more depressed or they need to take a nap or whatever? We try to key in on what someone else notices about a person's behavior, because sometimes we're blind to what's happening to us, right? I mean, I'm open with the fact that I have a sensitivity to gluten. I tell people, hey, I have a sensitivity to gluten. I personally feel like I can consume gluten. Trust me, no one wants to hang around TJ after he's had gluten, because I become very short-tempered. I get agitated very easily. And people, I mean, Aaron will look at me. People in the office will look at me, did you eat gluten? Because you're a little testy. And I have to stop and think, well, not on purpose I didn't. And I have to go back and try to figure out, okay, what did I eat that may have had some gluten hiding in it? Because then I start really being self-conscious about, okay, now I have to really watch myself. And a lot of people don't even realize that that's an issue. So if you don't know that it's going on, you have no idea what to look for. And I know that it happens, and I still miss it until someone points it out to me. And I tell everyone in the office, and Aaron for sure will tell me, hey, look, you might have gotten a little gluten here. Because
it's clear.
I don't notice it at all. But once it's brought to my attention, then I say, okay, yeah, man, maybe you're right, right? So this is just one example. There's so many different things that can happen. And we didn't even talk about hormones. You talk about getting someone being depressed. If someone has low testosterone, man or woman, you're more likely to be depressed, period, across the board. I mean, not having enough good fats in your diet, your adrenal glands could be catched. I mean, I don't know how many people come in and say, I think my adrenals are shot. And we check, and yeah, sometimes they are, but a lot of times they're functioning. They're just not functioning well. And so they don't know what else to put the label on. And so, you know.
And if your adrenals are only functioning, if they're functioning but not functioning well, modern medicine will never catch it.
Never.
And that's why people always end up
because
in our
office. Because you have to have a disease state for modern medicine to fix it. You have to have Addison's or Cushing's. Everything else is perfectly normal function. That's absolutely false. And we've talked about it on this show before. I'll get off my soapbox. I get a little amped up. You can tell I get a little amped up about this topic because this is something we deal with on a daily basis. So anyway, we've got to take another break. When we come back, we'll try to bring this stuff together and kind of wrap this all up and talk a little bit more about the myth of diagnosis. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back. If you're just joining us, you've missed a pretty good show so far, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Aaron laughs at me when I say that, but
it has. Every show.
I do, but it's been a good show, right? So today we've been talking about the myth of diagnosis. And before the break, we were talking about all these different things that can be causing depression. And I mean, yes, there are some real causes of depression, right? Just like there are real causes of anything. But if you don't address the core, the underlying issues, like what I listed off before, the, you know, vitamin deficiencies, the autoimmune responses, the inflammation, the low testosterone, things like that, right? You're never really going to have optimal function. You're never going to have optimal mood, right? There's really and truly no such thing. When you think about this, there's no such thing as a disease called depression. Depression is really just a group of symptoms that are put together, a group of things that are going on in a person that we gave a label to, and we labeled it depression. Well, we didn't. I didn't. Someone did, right? They just labeled it depression. And so, I mean, just as many imbalances that are going on, it's just what we refer to as depression, right? So that's the takeaway with this, is that, you know, it's just a group of things that come together, and we're going to say, well, if you have these, you know, 10 things, we're going to call it this condition. If you have these 10 things, we're going to call it this condition, right? It just baffles me that's what medicine has boiled itself down to, right?
Right. So that's, you know, the whole thought that there's one disease, but, you know, there are many different causes of, you know, like we talked about, there are many different things that can cause what is referred to as the same disease.
Right.
But on the other end of the spectrum, there can be one thing in a person's diet, lifestyle, environment, genetic makeup, you know, all these different things. There can be one factor that can cause dozens of different and seemingly unrelated diseases.
Right. Oh, yeah. And we were just talking about me and gluten. That's a big one. The New England Journal of Medicine put out a review, and they tied 55 diseases that can be caused by eating gluten. And a lot of them were neurologic diseases: anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, dementia, migraines, epilepsy, neuropathy. I mean, it's just baffling. And people are like, well, I don't have a problem with gluten. Well, you will, right? Because
right.
If you eat enough of it long enough, it's going to be an issue.
And especially in the United States.
Yeah, it's completely different gluten here. I mean, it's just the change that has happened to our gluten is just, it's an issue. Right. When I know we harp on it on this show a lot, and we talk about, you know, that we shouldn't be consuming gluten, but just knowing this information is why we do what we do, because we're just trying to spread this information that we know to others so that maybe they can be, you know, they can either help themselves or help a loved one. I mean, it's just, there's so many things. I mean,
right.
Gluten, I'm going to hammer on gluten a little bit, right? So the brain gets inflamed when we eat gluten, but gluten also gets broken down in the gut into these like weird little proteins, and they're called gluteomorphins, and they're opium-like peptides, right? So they're opium-like proteins, and they're like psychedelic drugs. They have the same type of effect. I mean, they change brain function, and they change behavior. I mean, I've noticed this. Go to Chuck E. Cheese and just watch the kids bounce off the walls. I mean, they literally go completely crazy. They do. It happens. Just watch this sort of stuff. If you're really up for an experiment, take gluten out of your child's diet. If you have a kid under the age of 10, take gluten completely out of their diet for 30 days, and then give them a bunch of pizza one day, or a bunch of donuts, or whatever it is. Yes, Dr. TJ said give them donuts. Just watch what happens after they consume that gluten after being off of it for 30 days. And you're going to, I mean, good luck have those first 5 or 6 days coming off of gluten, because it's going to be withdrawal-like symptoms.
Right,
they're
going to
be angry and cry and throw
far.
A fit. Or mac and cheese. That's what kids really want, is mac and cheese. After eliminating it for 30 days, give them that and see how they do. You will notice a very distinct difference. And I tell people that have kids to do that all the time. Like, you want to see what it's doing to your child? Do that, right? So there's just a lot of different things. I mean, all kinds of different. It causes it has a lot of glutamate in it, and so glutamate causes the body to accelerate, and it gets very active and excited. It's a very excitatory neurotransmitter. So we overactivate the system. So I mean, gluten by itself causes brain dysfunction. It inflames. It causes this little weird morphine opium-like protein, and then it's an excitotoxin. It causes the body to ramp up and be overexcited, right? And I mean, gluten, this is just an example that gluten can be the one cause behind a bunch of different diseases. And this right here is a big chunk of why we really encourage people, get your food sensitivity testing done. Find out if you have a sensitivity to these things, because right. it will change your world when you eat the foods that you're no longer sensitive to.
Right. And even if you don't have a sensitivity to gluten, you know, like you've talked about, it's still a problem. I mean, it's still not a good thing to be consuming. And if it is causing a problem for you, like it does for so many people, the diseases that gluten could be causing aren't treatable with better medication. I mean, that doesn't really make sense. You know, you treat them by removing gluten from your diet. It's that simple.
Right. And then, you know, you may have to do a few things to heal and repair the gut.
Right.
But that's usually pretty simple. And the younger you are, the less you're going to need, in all honesty.
Right. And that's really the whole, you know, rocking your shoe analogy, where like if you have a rock in your shoe, what do you do to fix the pain of walking around with a rock in your shoe? Well, conventional medicine would give you, you know, pain medicine or something.
It'll right.
give you things to, so you don't notice it. Functional medicine just removes the rock from your shoe.
Right.
Because that's what makes the most sense.
Right. And so the whole concept of today's show is basically one disease can be caused by a whole bunch of things, and one thing can cause a whole bunch of diseases. And that by itself, that statement by itself, completely flips our current thinking in healthcare on its head, right? This is why functional medicine is the future. This is exactly, and it's now. This is how you get to the root of what's causing your issues. People come in all the time and they're like, I'm taking, you know, medication. I don't want to have to take this medication anymore. What can be done? Okay, well, let's figure out what broke and let's fix that. Let's how about we do that? And so that's how you go back and you work on these things. And you got to take all of the body into account. You can't just say, well, I do functional medicine, but I'm just going to fix your gut. That's not going to work. You've got to fix your gut. You got to fix the hormones. You got to fix detoxification, all those keys that we talked about. And it has to be done. It doesn't all have to be done at once, but it all needs to be worked on at one time. Right, you don't have to necessarily go after every single piece of the puzzle, but you've got to be going after enough that you're going to make a difference and change how this person is, right? Because our bodies, we react so quickly to things if given the right things. And things can happen, things can change. So, I mean, this is functional medicine, and we encourage everyone, find a functional medicine practitioner, find someone that, you know, is certified, that knows what they're doing, because a lot of people out there are just saying, hey, I'm a functional medicine practitioner, and they actually have no training whatsoever in functional medicine.
Or they took a weekend course.
Yeah, so beware, but, you know, find someone, there are people out there that can help, that'll help you, right? So that's about all the time we've got today. If you'd like more information, please visit us online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can link to all those from our website. Give us a call, 314-293-8123. Shoot us an email if you have any suggestions for a show or questions. We do our best to get back to you as quickly as we possibly can. So for Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness One. Thanks for listening.